It has been a while since I have been here. It's great to be back. I've been in Louisiana for 8 years, about long enough that the hills around here feel like mountains to me. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. A special thanks to Reverend Jennifer Rieu for her support and for the invitation. And thanks to you for your concern for the church where I serve and the Unitarian Universalists in the city of New Orleans, because I do believe the losses its members have suffered led to this invitation. Everyone who lives in New Orleans has lived with uncertainty during the last few years. An uncertainty that began with a hurricane named Katrina, when it was still over the Gulf and changed direction, headed toward New Orleans. Most of the locals left the city for a 3-day evacuation. We were familiar with evacuations. And when the storm passed, the newsman said the city escaped damage. And we were delighted, ready to move back. A gentleman in Georgia told me later of the next day's headline in the Savannah Morning News: New Orleans saved. And then the levees broke. Evacuees sought a safe haven, often with relatives, a place where they sat and watched as their city, their home, fell apart. Our congregation lost half its members, and we represented New Orleans, half the population gone. This is our context for a message this morning that we'll discuss uncertainty in New Orleans and the progress we have made, and hopefully a few lessons for uncertainties we all face in life. But first, I would like to recall my internship with WUU. It was a great experience for me to be here, and I have been very appreciative, mentioned so to others as I've continued along life's way. It was not always easy, but it was enjoyable. The lessons you taught me helped prepare me for ministry and leadership, qualities that have served me well in the last couple of years. I remember several of the projects begun at WUU during my time with you. We started at that time to plan for an expanded parking lot, which is here. Some focused on building a memorial garden, which is in place. Others on a new sign, which is out there. This morning, someone reminded me about the chancel that was built while I was here as your intern. The WALT program kicked off at that time as well. And I remember there was a terrible ice storm on Christmas Eve. Could I say the ice was inches thick? I believe I could. Yep, the ice was inches thick. At least it sure looked to be inches thick when I drove back into town. Some lost their power for a week or more, but we returned, we adjusted, we moved on, and guess what? That was a lesson I carried with me. We returned, we adjusted, we moved on. There was a Gaia consciousness here in this church, a love for our earth and a responsibility for its care, a way of taking seriously words that come out of Genesis 1, 26, 28, stewardship of this earth. One of your adult RE discussion groups studied the Tao Te Ching, and this study opened up some shadings and nuances gleaned from a comparison of many English translations, and it was fun. It was a busy year, an enjoyable year. I cannot begin to mention the highlights, all of them, or the lowlights. Must have been some of those too. But I do know that I joined with those who met in the Faz House for Buddhist discussions and meditation. One meeting focused on the Buddhist principle of non-attachment. I thought I learned something then about non-attachment. I thought I was familiar with becoming non-attached or the mental process of it, or knew about non-attachment. But I did not learn what it means to be non-attached until Katrina. And I'm not speaking of myself here, or my evacuation, which was such a quizzical situation. Closed car and computer, the markers of my possessioned salvation. I'm not talking about that. My possessions were small. Oh, so small in the scope of it all. It touched everybody in our church. New Orleans, the entire golf course, particularly the people in our UU congregation. I must tell you that the folks there are much like you. They know and appreciate our faith, rejoice in a free religion, join for worship and friendship with like-minded people. They value our congregation. Their church is the foundation for their faith, the basis upon which they are growing their human spirits, much the way Gina mentioned earlier, in the way, on a personal level, our faith opens up the opportunities for us to come into our own, be the best that we can be. Looking back, Community Church have been pleased to burn their mortgage in 2003. They had their building. It was paid for. Coming back, they knew they would have to rebuild and began to try to figure out how they were going to be able to do so. These people were among those who rode the waves, both during high tides and after they ebbed. They were the brave who dared to return, although we blessed those who chose not to. And when they returned, I must tell you, they were returning to the city of New Orleans. Oh, it was a disaster for a while. It was nothing but a disaster zone for quite some time. But through it all, the music never stopped. Our restaurants reopened. Celebrations second lined, dancing on down the neutral ground. The life of the Spirit was there, and it remained for each and every one of the New Orleans wave riders. Life began looking forward, building a new normal, not like the old normal, not like the old half-forgotten pre-Katrina normal. And through this all, in that type of a setting, they faced a major uncertainty here on the B side of Katrina. How do we make this work? At first, how do we make this work applied to, can we return home? Can we keep our jobs? Can I find a new job? How am I going to live? Later, how do we make this work changed? How do we deal with our employers as they face their uncertainties in schools, in businesses, in city government, everywhere? Uncertainty was huge. How do we work with insurance and their bag full of games? And FEMA and the FEMA staff, the FEMA inflictors, we called them. Later still, how do we make this work? Dealt with troubled friends, ailing relatives, personal distress, with fate that flips and churns, destiny rife with concerns. It went on and on with uncertainty climbing and diving like a roller coaster at Busch Garden. 22 of our members lost their homes. One lost 3 properties. Another, a shopping mall. Let me give you an example. I can't tell you too many details, but here is just one specific example. And if I had time, I could go through hundreds of them. The member of our congregation who had recently purchased a shopping mall with 14 businesses was received from her insurance company an initial offer for full recompense of $67,000. This was the uncertainty, the type of uncertainty we lived with. All we could do when we heard such shocking tales was shake our heads. That's the way it was. Several members lost a car, and we at our congregation were able to help 3 people find a new used car. This was where uncertainty clutched like a grippers to our innards, working its alchemy in heart, mind, and soul. And in the midst of that eerie spot, we gathered as a religious community, not only for Sunday services, but of course for discussion, education, music, art, good friends, companionship. Here, we as a church asked the same question. How do we make this work? How do we do this? And as we begin to take a look at that, we quickly realized that we were not seeking just our own health and well-being, though we wanted it. Instead, we looked at the situation around us, and we pledged a ferocious support as a community for supporting our principles as we helped to rebuild our city. Very quickly, we saw a value in the other UUs in our area, and we formed a cluster, the Greater New Orleans Unitarian Universalists, a cluster that meets together, plans together, has social action agenda together, works together on projects, has even begun to worship together. One of our highlights is an Earth Day service. Every year we have an Earth Day service. We began on the B side of Katrina. As George Bernard Shaw once said, we need people who can dream of things that never were and ask, why not? And that has been, as best we are able, our approach. This is why we promote, affirm, support, and are involved with tutoring students and alternative schools, improved public safety, a better court system, an inspector general, and public ethics, the concerns of our neighborhood associations, affordable housing, services for the homeless, developments, new developments in African American neighborhoods, which have been primarily overlooked, and probably most importantly, safety from levees and coastal restoration. to on-the-ground environmental concerns. But that is not all. When the UUSC closed down their UU Volunteers for Rebuilding program, we said, wait a minute, people still need help. The city is not rebuilt. If we may, we would like to step in. This is why our newly formed subdivision of the Greater New Orleans Unitarian Universalists is the Center for Ethical Living, which now manages the New Orleans Rebirth Volunteer Center and other social agenda programs. The Volunteer Center was transferred directly from the UUSC to our local organization. And there is more. GNOUU members gather for book discussions together between the three churches. We studied Tom Piazza's City of Refuge, a look at the lives of two New Orleans families, one black, one white, on the backside of Katrina. A great book. It tells the story. It's nuanced and to the point, and those of us who live there appreciate it. We also discussed together the green collar economy from Van Jones, who spoke at last year's General Assembly, a book which points toward coming social changes, environmental action coming into place. And in addition, the Reverend Melanie Morrell Ensminger from First Church and I now co-minister to the North Shore UUs. They had a unique set of post-case stresses and were facing a future without ministry. Together, Melanie and I are promoting improved congregational dynamics. It's a slow but exciting path for them and for us. This shared ministry program, using full-time ministers from neighboring congregations, is a new approach to the UUA. It has never been done before. We looked at what we had and said, what can we do? Who is around us? How can we help? So I am here at a time when I must say that the question is not a question I could have asked a year ago, but now I can. How have we managed to do as much as we have? A year ago, I could have told you all the trouble we were living with. And as time passes by, we're slowly moving out from under the burden of quite a bit of that. But it has been replaced with a strong effort in doing things that we never would have done before. How did we do this? But that's not the only question. I invite you to also think of this in terms of a question, how might anyone move forward when you live through a heavy dose of uncertainty in your life? Of course, deep uncertainty might arrive for reasons other than our levees broke. Deep uncertainty might come with an illness, the loss of a job, financial distress. Oh, yes. Deep uncertainty may follow the death of a loved one or the dissolution of a relationship. Certainly so. Uncertainty can be there for every one of us. When it is there, what do we have? What do we use? What can we do as people? Our approach was to look at post-traumatic stress. Our approach was to study it and share it and understand our situation. Oh, to tell our stories, yes. To work through individual particulars, certainly. But to understand the total dynamic of the situation in which we were living. I received a volume from UU Trauma Relief that was this thick, that dealt with you with post-traumatic stress disorder. I looked at it, I said, I could never read that. It's too much. And 2 weeks later, I started on Friday morning, and by Sunday evening, I was through it. There were lessons in that volume, and we recognized that we had to understand these and work with them. We focused, as a result of that effort, on the spirit of life in our worship. We wanted the spirit of life to move out, to ooze into the hearts of the people who were sitting in the pew. We saw this spirit, this breath of life, as a dynamic presence available to all of us as long as we are still breathing. And we recognize that a life lived well is a highly more valued and respected and appreciated than one lived with lesser integrity or less honesty or less attention to the way the spirit of life is directing us in our heart of hearts, deep inside. It was obvious, too, that we were living through a time of transition, through many transitions. So we said, prepare for transitions. Let's be ready for change. And when a change is made through our decision-making, accept it, promote it, embrace it. For it is through our involvement with it that we can make it interesting and exciting. I have seen many people in the course of the last 2 years who were limited to sitting on the couch, limited to bemoaning their fate. You know what a difference it is when you can get up off of the couch and get out and get involved in something and be doing something with your life. It is then that it becomes interesting, exciting. We pledged as a church to walk our talk. We moved from process theology to theology in process. We recognized the processes as best we could that were moving forward. And we said, let's do what we can to make sure this reaches completion. We cooperated at the same time very willingly with members of other UU congregations. And I must tell you, it was a brand new path for us. Every congregation is different. I was blessed to be here for a year. I know there are a couple of congregations down that way and a couple up that way, and this one is the only one that's like this one, right? You have your congregation. Now, I'm not saying you wouldn't talk to those. But, well, in New Orleans, I'm not so sure that some of us were talking to some other UUs. And we had to work through that. We had to massage that and change that attitude so we were able to get along with others. We encouraged people to seek counseling, even as we accepted them as being at their best when we did not see their best being displayed. But as a group, our leadership expected the best that we could do, like a good team or a tight band or a partnership that grows stronger over time. Now, I could go on and on here, but this is a religious service. Others of you, many of us, myself included, have other things to do today than sit in this service. And there will be a chance for Q&A after, and I'd invite any questions that anybody might have, because this is just an outline of some stuff that I'm sharing. But let me share a brief story with you. Our small congregation, which had been 96 before Katrina and 53 when we returned, a congregation that had an uncertain financial capability to be thinking about rebuilding a sanctuary even. Our congregation was asked to share our plate on the first Sunday of the month. It was proposed that we make a contribution to a respected local organization or a traumatized UU congregation once a month. Do so regularly. At first, some said, we need all we can get. We have to build the building, don't you know? And the answer from them seemed to be, no, let's not do that. But others replied, look, we have felt the pain. And when we put ourselves in someone else's shoes, we should know that others need help too. When 2008 entered, our community ministry chair stood up in front of the congregation and announced that our total annual contribution, because it had been approved, month over month through the course of the year, exceeded $6,000. 53 people, now up to 67. They were proud. They had been able to help. They broke out in applause at that announcement. Despite their losses, they see an abundance. And so I close with a quote from Chuck Collins' UU World article, Working Together to Create Common Security. Collins says, we need to find those who are being left behind and hold them. We must build a solidarity economy that leaves no one behind. We should banish the myth of the autonomous individual and embrace the full reality of our covenantal existence. We are not alone, and we are nothing without each other. Let us hold one another and move from autonomy and isolation to community and covenantal existence. From anxiety, from uncertainty, to divine abundance. From an economy of greed to one of neighborly generosity. May the love in my heart meet the love in yours. Namaste.